This chazar zechen eshabach chazar when Yehudim sechus kedushim daf ein hey. Price says if a boy is already 9 years old and is a ger who was an amoni mayavi mitzri or a doimi or a kuti nothing chalal a mamzer who had beer with a kehenis a levi or yisraelis, that makes her puzzle from being a truma or from marrying a kohen. Rabbi Yossi says any man whose child would be puzzle to a kohen makes the woman who he has beer with puzzle to a kohen as well. But if his children would not be also to a kohen, the woman would not be puzzle to a kohen. Shimon Gamliel says if a kohen can marry a man's daughter, he can also marry that man's widow. If he can't marry a man's daughter, he also can't marry the man's widow. What's the difference between the view of the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi? So Rabbi Yochanan explained the difference would be when the man was a second generation convert who was a Mitzri. His child would be mutter to marry a Kohen. According to the Tanakam, he would make the woman that he has beer with also to a Kohen. According to Rabbi Yossi, he would not. Merak says that both learn their views from the case of a widow who marries a Kohen Gadol. Tanakam says that just like that relationship is also and it results in the woman becoming also to a Kohen, so to any beer that's wrong will cause the woman to become also to a Kohen. Rabbi Yossi says that just as in that relationship the children become puzzle and the woman becomes puzzle, so to in another relationship only when the children will become also. Will the woman become mutter? This excludes the case of a second generation mitzri ger, whose children will be mutter. What's the nafkamim between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So Ula explained the difference would be where the man was a ger from Ammon and Moav, where the males are also forever for all generations to marry into the kal, and the females are mutter. According to Rabbi Yossi, since his daughter would be mutter, the woman who he has beer with would also not become mutter. According to Shimon Gamliel, the woman would become mutter. And both learn their views from the case of a widow who marries a Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yossi says that just as like in that relationship the children become puzzle and the woman becomes puzzle, so to another relationship, only when the children become usher will the woman become usher. This includes the case of a ger of Ammon, since his sons would be usher. Shimon Gamliel says, just as in that relationship all the children would be usher and the woman would be usher, so too in the only in a relationship where all the children will be usher will the woman be usher. This excludes the case of a ger of Ammon, since his daughters are mutter, therefore the woman would not be usher. Rav Chista said, all would agree that the widow of a man who was a Safik Chala would be also to a Kayan. We can show this as follows. The most lenient of the views in the Brises of Shimon Gamliel says that if a Kayan can marry a man's daughter, then he can marry his widow. This presumably includes this case, and since the Kayan could not marry the daughter of a Safik Chala, he could also not marry his widow. Rav Chista argues with Rav Yeshua and Yehudim and Beseir, who say that this widow would be mutter to a Kayan based on a Sfek Sveka, meaning the Safik that of the woman is only because of the Safik of someone else, meaning her husband, and therefore she is treated leniently. Mishnah said, Vadom Vadon Mutter. Who the name of Rab Pasnak of Eliezer? However, when he said this to Shmuel told him, Hillel has Pasken that even the people of questionable Yichas, meaning a Shtuki, can marry people who are certainly Yasser and can marry other people of questionable Yichas as well. So how can you say that Allah falls over Eliezer? Fekma, we learned if an Arusa became pregnant, Rav says the child is a Mamzer, and Shmuel says the child is a Shtuki. Presumably, this means that Rav says the child may marry another Mamzer, and Shmuel is saying that the child may not. We see from here that Rav holds that this questionable child may marry a Mamzer, and Shmuel holds that he may not, which contradicts what they've said above. But I said we have to reverse the sheet. So that Rav is the one who labels the child as a shtuki, and Shmuel is the one who said labels the child as a mamzer. In fact, if so, why do we need to have the same achalikas twice? And for the Gemara, if Rav had only said that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, we would say he holds that way over there because that case where she was single and therefore most men are not also to her. However, when she's an arusa and most men are also to her, maybe he would agree with Shmuel. And if you only have the case of an Arusa, we would think that in that case, Rav holds that way because she can say that she is pregnant from the Arus. But regarding a regular case of shtuki, maybe he holds like Shmuel. Therefore, both cases are needed. Mercy, we can also answer that we don't need to reverse the sheet. When Rav says that the child's a mamzer, he doesn't mean that the child may marry a mamzer. Rather, he means that he's also to marry Yisraelis. When Shmuel says the child is a shtuki, he doesn't mean that the child is also to marry a mamzeris. Rather, he's saying that the child is also to marry Yisraelis. Based on this fact, they're saying the exact same thing. Mara says we have to say that when Shmuel says that the child is a shtuki, he means that we quiet him from the status of kahuna, even if the Arus was a kohen. If we don't allow him to marry Yisraelis, certainly we're not going to consider him to be a kohen. Mara says rather it means that we silence him from laying any claim to the assets of the father. In fact, we don't even know who the father is, so of course he can't claim the right to the assets. Mara says Shmuel was referring to a case where he grabbed some of the assets of one of the presumed father, and it's teaching that we take them away from him. He can't keep them just because he grabbed onto them. Mara says we can also say that when Shmuel said he's a shtuki, he meant that he's a baduki, meaning that we ask his mother who the father is, and if she says that it was from someone who she's not usher to, she is believed. Shmuel already passed on the Rabbi Gamliel from another Mishnah who says that we can ask the mother and she's believed, so why do you have to repeat it over here? And Mara says, from the other Mishnah, we would think there's only believed when most men there would not make the woman and the child puzzle. Shmuel is adding that even if most men there are puzzle, she's believed, instead of the child is not puzzle. Zachmar Vaita Abraisa says, like our Mishnah, that Rabbi Lazar holds that a kuti may not marry a kutis. What's the reason for this? So Rabbi Yosef said that the Rabbanan gave the kutim the status of a ger after 10 generations, at which time Abraisa says that they're also to marry a mamzeris because people forget that they're ger and will think that a mutter that is mutter for a year to marry a mamzer. Abaye asks, in that case, we have to be goyzer to avoid the confusion. However, when a kuti marries a kutis, they're both of the same status, so it won't lead to any confusion. Rav Dimi said, the reason is there are lots of holds like Rabbi Shmuel who says that kutim are not valid gerim, and Rabbi Shmuel then holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says that the child of a goy and a Israelis is a mamzer. Therefore, when a male kuti married a Israelis, the child was a mamzer, but when a male yid married a female kutis, the child was a regular goy. Still, the children of both of these relationships were labeled as kutim. Therefore, some kutim were mamzer and some were not. That's why kutim cannot marry other kutim. In fact, where we find that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold Rabbi Akiva, so we can say that Rabbi Elazar himself holds Rabbi Shmuel on the one hand, like Rabbi Akiva on the other hand. In fact, remember, we find that Rabbi Elazar specifically holds that the child of a goy and Israelis is not a mamzer. So Rav in the name of Chiyah, Rav in the name of Yechon said, there's actually a three-way machlekes about this. Rabbi Shmuel holds that kutim are not true geyim, and that's why the Rabbanan did not allow them to marry into the kal. Rabbi Akiva holds that kutim are true geyim. The reason the Rabbanan said that they can't marry into the kal is because they would do yibim for a woman who was only an arusa, and would say that if a woman was an asua, she's not subject to yibim. This allowed the women who were truly subject to yibim to marry other men, which was also with a lav, which according to Rabbi Akiva then produced mamzerim. Others say that the reason the Rabbanan did not allow kutim marry into the kal is because they were not familiar with the particulars of the mitzvahs. Who is the achirim? Who is these others? Rabbi Yehuda often said it's Rabbi Eliezer, who says in a brisa that the matzah of a kuti is also because they're not familiar with the particulars of the mitzvah. In fact, what are the mitzvahs? What mitzvahs are they not familiar with that caused the Rabbanan to be goyzer? They can't marry into the kal. Mar says they were not familiar with the details of kedushin and gittin, which means that some of the gittin were likely invalid, and yet the woman went and married somebody else. They were producing mamzerim. Rav Nachman named Rabbi Avua said the reason that kutim are osur is because a mamzer from a relationship with a sister and a mamzer from a relationship with a brother's wife became mixed into them. If he's teaching us that there's a mamzer from a relationship that's osur with krisis, why do you have to give us two examples? Mar says there was an actual incident that took place that involved both of these mamzerim. Similarly, Rav said the reason kutim are osur is because a slave and a maidservant got mixed into them. In fact, the only one that's a problem is when a yid married the maidservant, so why bring in the case of the slave altogether? Again, Zakhmar, there was an actual incident that took place that involved both of these.